Welcome, everyone, to our Thursday night Stargate Roundtable. We're happy to have all of you join us, and we have a guest second hour as well. So we will open tonight, and Carolyn is going to be doing our opening. So I pass the talking stick to you, Carolyn.
Thank you, Rita. And it's an honor to be here. And grateful for all of our lives, and thank you for all of you for joining us here tonight. Let's go into that heart space and just take a few gentle breaths, breathing in through your nose, exhale through the mouth. Use whatever protocols you're comfortable with. I like Angel Sue's way of counting to 10 on an in-breath and holding for 10 and exhaling on the out-breath. That's a good way. Whatever you're comfortable with. Just find that heart center, let go of the dross of the day, and find that healing space within. We're in that healing wave today, in this wave of Monique, that wave of purification and healing ourselves. So find that space, and let's start our with the prayer of the seven galactic directions, which is the Mayan way of calling in a direction as we make that medicine circle that way. And just gather with our angels and guides and guardians and go within like that and find that healing way. So this is the prayer of the seven galactic directions. From the Eastern House of Light, may wisdom open in the dawn that is upon us, so that we may see things clearly. And from the Northern House of Night, may wisdom mature among us, so that we may see everything from within. And from the Western House of Transformation, may wisdom be transformed into right action so that we might accomplish what must be done. And from the Southern House of Eternal Sun, may right action give us the harvest so that we might enjoy the fruits of the planetary being. From the Upper House of Paradise, where the star people and the ancestors gather, may their blessings reach us now. And from the lower house of the earth, may the beating of the crystal planet's heart bless us with its harmony so that we might and war. And from the central source of the galaxy, which is everywhere at once, may everything be recognized as the light of mutual love. Thank you, Dr. Richard Crutchfield, for translating that. In the Spanish, it is a by Don Diego, who is from the Yucatani Mayan elder, and it's a translation from the Mayan. So, thank you, and thank you for keeping all those good ones in our full support in your hearts and minds and. So all those ones who are having a struggle at this time, whether it be with their health or their finances, their relationships, whatever those struggles might be, may it be easy for them, and may we all find healing in all aspects of our lives. So thank you for showing up like that. That circle of support is a really good way to collaborate our energies that way. So Thank you. And so let's go on with the reading of the Mayan calendar this week. We are, today is a seven Skywalker, so it's a red resonant Skywalker, or it's seven then. Red resonant Skywalker. And that seven tone, that's that resonant tone. It's about at one, and that Skywalker is about taking that, being that Skywalker, embodying the space traveler, and walking through those dimensions. we work continuously to better ourselves as Skywalkers. So, there you go. And that's the energy for today. And tomorrow is an 8-ish, which is that magician, the jaguar priestess, the shaman, the priest. And it's an 8. So we revisit that. We just went through the wave of Ish. And every time we come to the 8, we know we've revisited it. And you could do the math on that with 13 and 20 cycle. We're always revisiting the wave before us with an 8. But that 8 tone is about harmony seeking and fine-tuning that harmonic resonance. It's a galactic tone. It's about integrity and harmonizing and modeling, representing the counterclockwise spin of the galactic frequency. So with that energy, with each and that magic tone, so it's a good place to go around the wheel that way and work that good energy from the Nogwal. So that's Friday, and then on Saturday, we have a men, a 9 men with that 9 energy of expanded cycles, the solar tone, and men eagle. So yeah, let's expand that eagle energy, those visions, those, that big picture. So it's a visionary aspect on Saturday with that men energy, and it's about that commitment to service and moving consciousness to source, reconnecting with all creation. So good energy for Saturday. And then on Sunday at 10C, the warrior, manifesting that warrior aspect in ourselves and being in integrity and right relations like that, and trusting in our journey, bringing awareness of right action. So that's on Sunday, with that 10 energy of manifestation of all those qualities. And then on Monday, it's 11 Kaban, and 11 is the earth, and I mean, is that tone of disillusion and dissolving and letting go, and Kaban, the earth. So let's let go of all those old ways on our earth patterns that create separation and disharmony. Let go of all those old ways that trap us into a place of not going forward or misguided place. So let go of all that working with that Kaban energy, that healing aspect, and being the keeper of the earth. Take responsibility that way and being aware of the earth's energy and moving it forward by letting go of what no longer serves us. And then on Tuesday, it's a 12 Etznob, and that 12 complex stability, 3 4s and 4 3s. So lots going on with that 12 energy. And Etznob, the mirror, seeing who we are that way, and each other, and what we see in the world is who we are. So use that warrior aspect of Etznob and work on groundedness and that wise use of honesty and self-understanding. And go with the fluidity of that energy and the persistence. And let go of the illusions of separation and fears and abandonment, any illusions. So that's the energy on Tuesday. And you get to do that with crystal clarity of 12. So that should be a powerful way to work with those energies. And then on Wednesday, a 13 Kawak, and that 13 is that, that's that transcendent tone. It's the last tone in the wave. And we make that cosmic leap, that universal movement of change on this day. And it's also a portal day, so it's very powerful, and it's Kawak, which is a visionary aspect, and it's about creating transformation for others and lighting clear thoughts. So that's a beautiful program, the way this wave rolls out this way, and letting go on Monday with working with the Earth, and then on Tuesday with Etznob, and then working with this lighting clear thought and transcendent quality on with the 13 tone on Wednesday as a portal aspect. Very powerful on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, when we come back, we have a one, a how. So we have the unity and the and the completion at the same time. It's almost like a, an alpha omega situation, but not really. And it's so we have a how being the 20th or the zero glyph, the sun energy, and that cosmic transcendence. And then the one being the unity tone, the beginning. So we have the end and the beginning there. Nice little quality for Thursday when we come back. And we'll talk about that more on Thursday. So there you go. That's the whole week. And it's a good one. The portal day being on Wednesday with a 13 Kawak, nice set of energies. And remember that we're in the wave of unique and the healing ourselves. Keep healing energy as your focus for the whole week. And there you go. I pass this talking stick back to you, Marita.
And we have a new moon on, or a full moon on Saturday this week.
That's right, at 8:46 in Leo. I looked it up. So that, and that's going to be the energy on Saturday is a 9 men, and that's the eagle energy, that visionary energy. So lots happening.
I have somebody here that's asking, what does Ometakwiyasan mean?
It means all my relations.
Right. Okay. Well, we are grateful that you have helped us get this started and set the tone for the evening. I want to remind people that BBS has provided a phone number that we can dial into that you may have a better sound than you do when you use the old one that we have used for years. It's still going to be there. I'm not taking it away. And if you want to try the new number, it's 716-748-0144. One more time, 716-748-0144. So that's something that you can test out and see whether you enjoy listening there or you want to use the old number. That's, it's not going away. We're just adding something that may give you better sound. We want to ask and put Angel Sue in our circle of prayer, and we hope that next week she'll be able to be with us again. And is there anyone else here on the team that has anyone that they want to talk about, or anyone that we need to add to that?
Marita?
Yes.
I think we want to talk about Rama.
Okay.
And I didn't find out this piece of information until yesterday. And one of the brothers here from our family called me up, and Rama was out getting news, and he said that he had had this situation with needing surgery for an inguinal hernia. That's what Rama's got. And his hernia is like larger than a large grapefruit outside of his body right now. And Rama weighs anywhere from 90 to 94 pounds on any given time that he checks himself, and he doesn't seem to be able to gain weight. And so the issue about that has to do with him having the hernia itself, and I just learned that yesterday. And what our brother said is, he said that Rama's at the stage where he had this stage, or Rama's at now, for a good 8 months, but it was getting more and more painful. And Rama will have to lay down in agony, you know, for an hour to get his insides to go back so that he's not in pain. And then he has to get up again. And what's happening is it's changing the relationship of all the tissues to all the organs, and their functions are being impaired. And it's really he's very, very ill on that note, even though he can get up and walk around and wear a girdle and stuff, but he's not going to be able to get. As a matter of fact, this brother said he got to be less in weight than Rowan. By the time he was able to get to find a doctor that doesn't do the mesh treatment, which is very dangerous, and every 2 to 3 years people have to get it done again when they get that treatment. It's not safe. So there's only one in the area of Las Vegas where this was found. And it's $5,000, so we've been racking our heads. And, our brother said we could stay there while Rama gets the surgery and stuff like that. But there's no way to get it on any kind of Medicare or Medicaid or anything, because the AMA does not approve of the proper surgery. Instead, they approve of the dangerous one. So this is just amazing experience. The point that I guess I'm making is that we're going to try to do something with GoFundMe or something, you know, and or as some kind of a crowdsourcing thing. And I know that some of them are successful and some of them are not. And so if there's anybody that's had any experience with that or knows how to get into any experience with that, or know somebody that knows somebody, it does help to know how to set those things up. And we were also thinking of combining it and saying that Rama does a show, which is talking about the change of the ages and the ending of the corruption of the old timeline and yes. all of the situations there, and bringing in the new timeline, which is the Aquarian Age, the Age of Enlightenment and Full Disclosure, with galactic intervention, which has already begun. It started in 1945. It's like an opening between third dimension and fifth dimension, because the ACIO was created specifically when the United States violated the prime directive, which is non-intervention in a civilization's development, unless in case of psychic or nuclear holocaust. So on August 6th and August 9th, when we dropped two bombs, Little Boy and
Fat Man,
on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, then the Ashtar Command entered into our politics, science, and religion through the New Atlantis doorway, which is the United States of Altea, America, right now. In Saint Germain, a member of the Ashtar Command, with Ashtar, Nanda, and Lady Nada, and Katumi, and all of our friends from the star families, actually became members of our government at the 38th level above the president. And so that interventive motive changed the timeline. And so we've been moving since then towards this new timeline, which means that the end of karma, the old timeline, karmic timeline, and the end of karma in that higher sense is like it's like a debt jubilee, you might say,
yes.
Because Nisara actually brings divine government and universal economics, is what all of the other star families of all the universe of Nebadon and all the seven super universes live on. So that's a change of the timeline. So that means accountability for every soul. And that's why Mother said that there's no more reincarnation on this planet, that all the souls that are coming in now are new. They're not coming back from a past life. So the whole thing changes. And again, others from the timeline right now, and Mother said that's been happening on a regular basis too, is that they're being moved to other planetary systems because the Earth is preparing her way to become the 33rd planet in this universe of Nebadon to graduate, to become a member of the Confederation of Worlds. So we're not only going to have, you know, divine government here, and we're not only going to have the Constitution, which was, you know, inspired and with the Founding Fathers, meeting with the native people of the Iroquois Nation, including the Declaration of Independence. And we all, not only did we have eight presidents before the one that we are calling the first president, but the difference is that when Washington came in, we lost our sovereignty before we started, because the corporation and the Vatican took over. And that's something that a lot of people have not grasp yet. So that's a timeline correction. And at that point, that's why the astrology has been asking us for at least the last 3-4 years to, and we're all doing this spiritually in our meditations and prayers, to hold ourselves accountable and take records of our souls, you know, and our thought forms and what's old and what's the new timeline and the possibilities of immortality coming back to us. In the meantime, these characters and the reports every day are doing everything to stop this from happening. That's really what's going on. Instead of taking accountability, for example, for our black ops instigating what's going on in Iraq and instigating what's going on in Syria and Afghanistan and Pakistan and all the war zones in Africa, they're all our black ops doing that. Instead of seeing to that, that be the thing that we need to focus on, what's going on in Europe right now is that all the countries are starting to put limits on who can come there as a refugee, as though some people have to stay and get killed and die in these places. It's so far out of its time-space continuum. In the meantime, on the banking system level, the markets, they're saying that we've had the worst, falling markets in our history. They're not saying anymore it goes back to 1932. They're saying in the last 2 weeks, we've had the worst downfall in our markets in history. And even though it looks like today it went up a little bit, that's just another lie. They're trying to calm the waters, you might say. And just to look at it from that perspective, this is the time to remember that Nisara is the spiritual activity on this planet. And we're not going to be less involved. We're going to be more involved because to be responsible, and without the angst of the old system, it could be a very helpful thing in terms of the progress that can be made on the planet. So this is the toughest time. And then the King of Swords told Rama, because Rama just triple-checked about Dr. Greer, because there's been some question out there on the internet and a lot of places that he's not necessarily working for the light. And the King of Swords said, let's set the record straight. The reason that he's not dead and that he can tell these people where the bear sleeps in the wood and he's still alive is because the White Knights and the Ashtar Command have had detail protecting him for a very long time. And he has not faltered. So he is totally of the light. So that whole presentation is a very high vibration. And let's just look at that from the place where we must know our history in order to do the her story. We must know how to bring a balance to this, and we all volunteered this time. It doesn't matter. We're all playing a role. You know, Hillary Clinton's playing a specific role, and finally there's things that are being shown about that role that haven't been shown till now. And, you know, Tom Hartman's jumping through some hoops that he hasn't been saying until very recently.
Yes.
As recently as Sunday, when there was the debate.
Right.
And Hillary started to go into attack mode and making it very clear that she will not, she absolutely will not reinstate Glass-Steagall, which means she doesn't want to separate, like Glass-Steagall did, regular commercial banking from
the casino.
Well, let's just say it the way that's called. It's called investment banking. And the difference is that we're dealing with something called the FDIC, which is the Federal Deposit Insurance Company. And when you have put investment banking together with what's that banking called again? Commercial banking. Then what you're doing is you're making the people, the taxpayers, because the Federal Deposit Insurance insures investment banking. Investment banking means that that these are people running or owning businesses, and that means corporations, and that means hedge fund bankster corporate investors in stealing the money from the people for their own aggrandizement in what we call hedge funds. And hedge fund CEOs are 90% of the money that Hillary is running for president on. So, of course, she will not go for Glass-Steagall because it would cut off the money flow that is coming from those hedge funders making those profits. So
hey, Rama,
you can see.
We have a listener that's asking if you have tried using your GemSphere to help with your condition. That's one question.
Yes. Yes, I have worked with it.
And have you noticed anything? I guess that's what they were wondering, what kind of experiences, and also if there's anyone else out here that's had those. And then the second question is they want to know who you talked to today, if you were able to go out, and if you were able to, who did you talk to? So those are questions written to Rama here that's been text to me or emailed to me.
Yes, I spoke with Tom the Cat and Larry and Curly today concerning what was brought up by former Congressman Bob Ney, who wrote the book Sideswiped. And this concerns Hillary Clinton's emails that are top secret, and they go beyond top secret. They go beyond cosmic clearance. And this goes into the realm where the folks I talk to that have no names other than, you know, funny, odd, strange names.
Like Larry, Curly, and Moll.
And the King of Swords and Mr. X. And Jack the Alien Hunter.
Yes.
And this is the realm where, as Hillary was to begin talking about those emails, we're already in the realm where what Dr. Greer talks about is that we need to have a whole dissertation on roast pig about full disclosure and why our government has lied to us since 1945. And it has to do with the contact that has been going on since we detonated Fat Man and Little Boy and opened up the story, which was called the Gourd of Ashes, that Buddha in Red Face, like we read. And This is a lot huger story than the time allotted here, yet it has to do with what happened as the shock waves that occurred when Fat Man and Little Boy were dropped. This didn't just happen on Earth. This went across the solar system, across the galaxy. This is why everybody and their dog showed up. And at this point...
Yeah, in other words, this is an intergalactic war that has damaged other star systems, other planets, everything.
Yeah. And
because we're all one.
Rob, I just want to say this. I don't really know who Fat Man and Little Boy is, so if I don't know, I'm sure that...
Fat Man and Little Boy are the names of the two bombs. Fat Man was the name of the bomb that was dropped in Hiroshima, and Little Boy was the name of the bomb that was dropped on Nagasaki. That's a very good question, and sometimes we assume people know things like that, but that's
the
answer.
And this is the first time I've heard that as well. So,
oh, my goodness!
And if you remember your history, Los Alamos was called the Secret City during the time of World War II. And this is kind of interesting because Tom the Cat brought this up today. In the movie, I'm kind of digressing, but not, because it's dealing with this whole story that has to do with our brothers and sisters from the stars coming in. In the movie, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, in the beginning of the movie, you see Indy and all these Russian soldiers in this, you know, Russian commandant female with this sword, and they actually go into this warehouse somewhere near, let's say, Area 51 or something like that, and they find some of the alien bodies from the Roswell crash, yet also at the same time, while that's going on, they're getting ready to, you know, this happened after Fat Man and Little Boy, but they're getting ready to detonate another nuke at that time in the movie. It might have even been just before they detonated Fat Man and Little Boy, but Indiana Jones has to climb into a refrigerator at the time when they drop this nuke, and you see him escape, and then he's getting questioned after he survives that by the Men in Black, quote unquote, or the FBI. How did you survive that? The point I'm bringing all of this into is after those things were detonated on the planet, it alerted the entire local galaxy that we had better step in. And what Tom the Cat, Larry, and Curly explained to me today is how all of this ties in with all the other stories that are coming about now concerning full disclosure, how we change the conversation completely with the fake news that's going on to cover up the real news. They just found the ninth planet, quote unquote.
Yeah, they decided to say that Pluto is not a planet. That's not
true. They downgraded it to a dwarf planet. It is not a dwarf planet. Pluto
is a full planet.
It is an intergalactic trading post on the edge of our solar system.
And which is what Mother said we're going to be calling banking. Instead of banking centers, we're going to go to intergalactic trading posts. We're going to do. Yeah, isn't that good? And we're going to have shuttlecraft rides, and we're going to go meet people from all kinds of other universes and star systems, and we're going to trade for things we need here, and they're going to trade for things that we have to give them.
Yeah, and how this comes into the realm of the, you know, Starfleet, the Intergalactic Confederation of Worlds, is as more and more comes forward with full disclosure, everything changes of how we go about our day, do our business, so we don't have to, quote unquote, work for a boss or another shadow corporation or someone who may or may not be in integrity with how wages come about, how exchange happens, where, you know, it's not just $15 an hour that fast food workers need. They need $25 an hour to be handing out those burgers and fries, just like Elizabeth Warren said. And level the playing field here, because the fat cats on Wall Street, everything has to do with, as we have been having a fake money system since Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard, and it also has to do with the eroding away of us learning civics, basic civics of how investment banking happens, rather than the casino story when they threw Glass-Steagall out and all the other checks and balances that make boring banking what it's really supposed to be. That when you go into the bank,
When you go into the bank, then you're it's got to do with the FDIC.
That's right.
Why we did the bailouts. And see, the bailout thing, what was that called? TARP, right?
Yeah.
That was the fake Nassara being announced.
Nassara.org and Nassara.com.
Yes, because that was the national economic, and then they changed the word. They said stabilization, meaning keeping the 13 families in power. And instead of reformation, it was Recovery Act, meaning keeping the 13 families in power. And the thing about that is that's connected with the timeline that Rana Moose talking about, where she came from. She came from 175 million years in our future to back to now to actually participate with the Ashtar Command in changing the timeline.
So that...
And Rana Moose is not from Earth.
No.
In other words, she looks like a little hobbit. She's about 4 feet, 10 or 11 inches tall.
Yeah.
But she wasn't born here. She didn't grow up here. She didn't go to school here. She came from 175 as a wingmaker, answering the Ashtar Command's call to help us intervene and change the timeline back to the upward spiral.
And this is what's happening since the ending of the Mayan calendar in 2011. 2012 till now, as we are moving upward into this higher spiral. In fact, last Sunday, our friends Alan and Elizabeth on their show had a man on, and he was a student of Paramahansa Yogananda, as well as the student of Yogananda's teacher, Sri Yukteswar. I think I'm saying his name right. But this man who came on must have been in his mid-80s to late 90s. That's how old he was. He recently came back from the Himalayas. He was sitting with Babaji, I could say, maybe a month ago, physically sitting with Babaji up there in the Himalayas, and Babaji sent him back here to talk with all of us. He came on Alan Elizabeth's show, and he talked about how we are firmly right now in Satyuga, and we have already passed out of the Kali Yuga, and therefore the 26,826-year cycle
Is over. Including the karma.
That's right.
Of all that, which means the timeline has been erased that was taking us on the downward spiral, not just for the last yuga, because this is a different story. First time, like we've been saying in history, that we're going into a divine government that's completely global.
Yeah.
And I know it confuses people because a lot of people say, well, is it just national? Because it says national in Nisara. The reason it says national is because the entire globe depends on this country's currency. This country sets the tone for the entire globe.
Yeah.
So when they change it from here, it changes it for the entire planet. So we're all going into, the ultimate is to discard with all the borders. And that's kind of going on only within the downward spiral discussion over there in the European Union, because they're all fighting about not wanting to go along with anything that the European Union as a body is representing anymore. They're all taking their own pathways. They're bordering up. They're not allowing people to come in here. They're having, talks of extreme right wing, and of course that happens over here too.
Yes.
This whole Reaganomics thing was just another way of talking Fourth Reich here and the European Union over there. So again, it's not about it's just not about all the stuff that you even see on the internet. And that's another thing about the Prime Directive. Because there's still the Prime Directive is still in place until this job is completely done in the consciousness of everybody. And so, for instance, Rama was, telling his parents when he was 5 and 6, I'm a member of the Ashtar Command, and I want to be a starship captain. And Rama's parents are saying, well, how about becoming a medical doctor, Rama?
Yeah.
Or how about being a lawyer or something like that? Jewish parents, white Russian Jewish parents, right? And Rama says, no, I'm already a starship captain, and they're just like, oh, let's go send him to the psychiatrist, and you had to take certain things.
I did.
Yeah. Okay. So this is going on for a lot of people right now. And the thing is that love is winning, and it's already won. It's just like I got to repeat what Nada said. It's almost 3 weeks ago now. She said, from my vantage point, as you were to look over what I can see, that that this is already done.
That's right.
And yet, we still get a lot of calls from a lot of people, like, not comprehending the depth of this, and that has to be comprehended now. So we're just going to say it one more time. The reason that this is mandated, that these three programs are mandated to be like an education about where we must move from to. And there was a line of demarcation on 1st of October of 1979. And what was agreed upon, and this was agreed upon with the Ashtar Command involved as part of our military at that time, and they were sitting in these round tables, and the Galactics were. Everybody knows, both sides of the fence know that, in a sense, may the best man win, they said. Yet not one dime can be contributed from the Faction 3 White Knights, and anything that's involved with Nisara can be contributed to this little endeavor, which is really Rama's mission. Yeah. We're talking about Rama's life in terms of Nisara, because as Ashtar's son, he has been being prepared this lifetime to take Ashtar's place.
Yes.
And Ashtar moves up into the next cosmic Christ position that he takes. And we've seen this in different places where, Lord Katumi has now moved out of being world teacher, and now he's enjoined with the Lord Maitreya. And Rama's not by himself in this, but on the earth plane he is, because he's literally the only person on this planet without a gag order that has a direct connection to Faction 3 White Knights. And so that means that everything else is it has to take an exception to that. There are many, many people who signed a gag order. In other words, there's people in the media, there's people in the political stratosphere, and there's people in Hollywood, and they've all have direct connection with Faction 3 White Knights. Very, very good whistleblower White Knights in those three areas. But they all have gag orders. So they're very, very limited. And there is a rule that was made, whether it's a good rule or not, that as you give one penny, and surveillance is impeccable, as you give one penny, you will be guilty of treason and you will be removed one way or another. We'll call it suicide, whatever. And that's been happening. So it's very important that people...
Give one penny to what?
Give one penny to this program. Because this is the only program where the direct connection to the Faction 3 White Knights is coming directly through Rama to the world. And that's why Lady Masternada said, please assist. Because the people at the grassroots need to do what the people at the grassroots are doing for Bernie. You know, yes. Bernie's got the most very small donations on a regular basis. Like every month, about $30 comes in. So he's got the most contributions from millions and millions of people in small donations on a monthly basis that are literally making him a record breaker right now. He's had more donations on a consistent basis than any person running for that office of the presidency in history. And that's what this needs to do. That's what this program needs to do. So it's not that we need less time. We actually need more time. And that's a fact. In other words, the education of taking up the responsibility as teachers, teachers, teachers. If anybody is listening to this show right now, you wouldn't be here unless you were that. You may not completely, you know, in all due humility, you may not completely recognize yourself. But let me just say,
we are the heroes and the prophets that show up
yes.
every 70, 80, 90 years in something called the fourth turning, which is not just a spiritual revolution, it's a spiritual evolution. And this has to do with this physical timeline that has changed, that this ancient master that came on Ellen Elizabeth's show last week said, that even Babaji pointed out, we are in this new time. And it has nothing to do with the old timelines that are still running, yet we're looking at all of the ramifications of what the old timelines have done.
And in order to correct it, you need to know what's going on in order to do that.
And
yes.
there is so much, I mean, hyperdimensional frequencies moving in at this time. It's like you, mm-hmm. I mean, I can honestly say it is so magnificent to behold, and at the same time, very much you must be about thy father, mother, God's business to do what needs to be done to change the story, because everything that's going on has to do with distraction. And there are so many huge leaks that are being dropped right, left, and center.
At the same time, yes.
By whistleblowers that can only do what they can do, like Jane Mayer.
Jane Mayer, she...
Earlier this week, just tore the...
Well, no.
The Koch brothers.
She told the history that we've told on our shows.
That's right.
And it's never been on the air, ever.
Yes.
And they basically identified Frederick Koch, which is the father of David and what's the other name? The two Koch brothers.
Yeah.
And they have two other brothers, and there was a family squabble too. And the other brothers lost the fight. So the Koch brothers inherited this huge. The others got plenty. They got plenty, but they kind of receded into the background. And all of this money is from the Koch brothers' father, Frederick, who built a refinery, a very special kind of oil was being produced for funding the Nazi war side.
And then he built
some more refineries for oil in
Russia,
in Soviet Union, which is different than what Russia is today, big
for
time.
Stalin.
Putting that together and knowing now, without being saying it outright, but knowing it anyway, literally that President Putin is an immortal. It's just enough to make your mind go wonky.
And now they're starting to, you know, Britain put out some kind of fiasco story today saying that Putin was implicated in this former KGB spy that died after drinking poison green tea in 2006.
Yeah, that does not have anything to do with Russia or Putin or anything. It has to do with the United States Black Ops.
That's right.
Same answer. Lindsey Graham and John McCain. And then you've got to look behind that. Who's controlling those people? It's Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger's clone or whatever the program is right now.
Kissinger's the one that trotted out Miss
Sarah Palin. Palin is also one of the assets of Henry Kissinger.
Oh.
So look at that. They would have had Henry Kissinger as president and vice president if those two had made it to the presidency. It's a little terrifying.
Everything that's going on right now is leading us to these moments that have to do with these such magnificent energies that are uplifting the planet, yet you're not going to get to hear that from the mainstream news, and not even free speech or Link TV. And even
Amy Goodman said that even though you don't see it, the Koch brothers have something to do with controlling even me.
That's right. PBS.
Yeah, PBS is completely controlled by the Koch brothers. Even though we got some good stuff, we play as much of it as we can. It only goes to a certain point. They don't go deeper in the layers. Yes. Oh, is Glenn on line one? Is that our guest, Lady Master Rainbird? I mean, Lady Master Marita Robert?
Right. Didn't know if he, maybe he couldn't come in on Skype. I'm not sure. So,
well, it says here on the board that Glenn is on line one. Is that who that is?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
You know, Rama, you may be having all sorts of challenges, but your energy is stronger tonight than you have been in a long, long time.
Amen. It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's coming to terms with the reality and the facts. And I mean, it has a great relief to know that the reason he's losing so much weight and can't gain it back is because of the condition he's in. That just never made a link at all until yesterday.
It's finding clarity.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal.
So now what to do? So if anybody knows how to set up one of those things, because there's certain rules,
GoFundMe
or crowd control. There's all kinds of them there. Crowdsourcing, because some of them, they don't make anything at all, and the other ones, they just do great. And so it has to do with knowing how to set that thing up. And it could also be a great help, because we could start talking through that piece about what Rama does and why we need him here and how important it is to learn about this and bring more people who are willing to support this on a nice, in a nice, good way. Thank you.
Thank you. Commander Randy has a message here for Rama. He says that he has put Rama in the circle, in his circle of healing, and he said, ask you, what are the effects of the five planet being visible now in the early evenings? You know, there's five planets all visible at the same time. So, Rama, that's Randy's question to you.
What these five planets have to do with the frequencies at this time is ushering in as we are getting very close now to the first great Sabbath, which is called Candlemas on February 1st, and also Groundhog Day, February 2nd. It's leading up to the spring equinox and the return of the sun, as, you know, when the sun went, you know, they call it the return of the sun with the winter solstice. And as the sun is rising now back, what these five planets are doing is helping with these frequencies at this time to help uplift humanity at such an exponential level. The frequencies that are pouring in, it's so much about, we are in service to humanity in all its forms. And how this comes about is what Bernie is talking about in the 3D level. That when, you know, I heard a number like 62 people own more wealth than several billion people on the planet, and that simply won't stand in the new frequencies, the new energies pouring in at this time as we are becoming the 33rd member of the Intergalactic Confederation of Worlds. These five planets that are lining up have everything to do with higher frequencies pouring in, more visitors very much coming forward and revealing themselves.
And what that's making available too, because even people who are channeling all these different beings, they're getting an aha, so that their channeling moves into the new timeline. And then they get an awareness from the old way of channeling to another way. It changes. And that's very important that we comprehend that. And then we can also realize when we're getting those channelings that we can, as long as we're working on changing and recognizing where we have some old timeline thoughts, and the new ones can come in more strongly. So, Rama, that must be that recognition of the condition, you know, of your system, and that recognition has brought your vibration up.
Yes.
Yes, you are very much stronger tonight than you have been in a long time. So we are grateful for that. And if do you have anything else you want to say? Our guest is on the phone with us here. So what would you like to say in closing there, Rama? Did you get to finish your thought process?
Just hold us in the circle of support. We are in such magnificent times at this moment, and at the same time, it's walk softly on this good red road. I passed the talking stick.
Okay. We'll give you listeners a number that you may call in when you, if you would like to ask a question of our guest, and that is 888-429-5471. And that's free for the United States and Canada. 888-429-5471. Our guest this evening is Glenn Ambrose. He's a spiritual healer teacher and has many different subjects that he can talk about, but I think he's just going to talk about love and fear and how all of this works together. And so, Glenn, can you say hello?
Hello.
Well,
how are you?
I'm glad you're here, and tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, as you mentioned, I'm a spiritual teacher and also a life coach, which highly slants over into the spiritual aspect, as is everything that I do. I do lots of workshops. I have my own place in Rhode Island, so I have little events here. And, it's all about getting the word out, reaching as many people as I can, and, letting the truth flow through me.
Mm-hmm. How did you get to this place, or what's been your life journey?
The first portion of my life was a fairly happy childhood, and then I hit puberty, and everything kind of went left. The next 20 years was very difficult. Lots of bad choices, rebelliousness, addiction. So then when I was about 35, I finally started waking up, and I had a series of spiritual awakenings at that time over a 3-month period. And that was where the journey really started. So after that, it was a lot of learning and researching. And then when I kind of got filled to the rim, it was more about stopping all the learning and more about the being of it. You know, mm-hmm. being who I was working so hard to become, actually being it. So that's kind of the Reader's Digest version of my life.
Right. So what do you feel is the, as you're teaching now and doing workshops, how do you think you're helping people the most in their spiritual growth? So in what area or how are you doing this that seems to be working for you?
Well, one of the things that I do best is get to the core of things very quickly. It's kind of who I am anyway, and that's how Spirit, God, Universe works through me. So the thing that I do well is open and allow. Just kind of, you know, when I check in, I check out. So basically, my mind checks out. My mind checks out, and the conversations are guided, through spirit, and we get right to the core. And I mean, a lot of times there's sessions where somebody's just sat down with me, and within 45 minutes, you know, we've gotten to the core of an issue that they've been in therapy for 10 years with. You know, mm-hmm. and haven't gotten to that core. So really that's one of my strong suits, getting to the core. And that's why I had mentioned a lot of my talks lately have been focused on love and fear, because when we get to the root of everything, the core of everything, that's really all there is. On an emotional level is love and fear, and to go even deeper into the core, there's just love. That's all there is love and absence of love.
Mm-hmm.
Which absence of love is what we call fear. So, you know, and then we go up one level from that, and there's different level, you know, we call different things of fear. We'll break it down even more into sadness and anger and frustration and rage. And, you know, there's different versions of it. So, you know, we have different names the further we get away from the core. But, you know, in reality, there's just a flow, a life force flow, a flow of love and absence of that. And that's about as down to the core as we can get.
So on the presentation here this evening, if you were to lead people on a little journey or to pretend that you're working with someone, what kind of a question could we pose that would maybe include as many people as possible, just as a pretend, say we're going to be working with, let's say you were doing a session for me, and I'm representing all of our listeners. What could we do that might be helpful for the group?
I mean, really, in our day-to-day lives, it's a matter of, again, getting to the core when you're looking at your life decisions. So when you're looking at your life decisions, are those being made from love, or are they being made from fear? And mm-hmm. if we look at the basis of each of your decision making, then you know pretty quickly you can usually find out what that is if you know what you're looking for. So you know one of the most common things that people will confuse, they'll confuse fear for love of another person. You know, they'll say, oh, well, I'm going to make this choice. I'm going to stay at the job that I don't like because I have to provide for my children, because I love my children. Well, that's not actually a decision made out of love for your children. That's a decision made out of fear of lack, that you're not going to be able to support them. Now, I believe I'm a realist. I don't run around telling people to go quit their jobs, you know, just because they're not happy that day. But if people are doing things with their lives that is not bringing them joy, then they're not enjoying their lives. I mean, life is what happens when you're busy doing other things, you know. Your life is happening whether you're participating in it or not. So, you know, if you're spending 8-10 hours a day doing things that you don't like, you're missing a large portion of your life, and you're not doing what you're meant to be doing. So it's not that you run out and quit your job because you're not happy there and then try to figure out how to feed your children. But what it is you there is downtime. You can set aside time to start looking for a different job or even just to start figuring out what you do find joy in. You know, and then start walking in that direction.
Okay. So if you were, let's say I'm having a dilemma of making, using that kind of an example, I know that I could change jobs, but my fear is so strong that I know I can't make that move. How would you help people to build upon their strengths or to recognize their strengths so that they could do something that would bring more joy?
Right. Well, and, you know, it depends on the person. Obviously, you know, the as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the work that I do is guided specifically to that person. So I would be able to, you know, really nail it. But, I mean, as far as different options, some people, what they need to do is they need to look at their fear and follow it all the way through. You know, a lot of times they'll say, well, no, I can't just do that. It's too big of a mountain to climb. And it's like, well, okay, you know, well, what if you started walking in that direction? What's the worst thing that could happen? What, just follow all the fears. And if you walk all the way through, the fear is just an illusion. It's not really there. It's just an egoic structure trying to keep you stuck. So if you follow it all the way through, most situations, we've been through worse in our lives already. You know, mm-hmm. Most of us have gone through trials and tribulations in the past, and we've made it somehow. So, you know, I mean, I've had certain people in certain situations where I'll walk them through, okay, your house is foreclosed on, you're out of work. Will you be able to pull yourself back together somehow? And they're like, well, yeah. I mean, that would be horrible, but I know I'd make it somehow. Okay, well, then you'd make it somehow. and that can take some of the fear out of it. Other people need to just start chipping away at their fear. You know, they could take a smaller fear and just kind of stand in that and take some, just take some action that has very small risk to it. So, you know, just I'm going to go, you know, I have a fear of having an honest conversation with my sister because of how she's going to react. Okay, well, that's a lot smaller. You know, your sister can get mad at you, but it's not, you're not going to end up homeless about it. So, you know, go stand in that. Go face that fear, you know, and then you can build up your confidence in what you're capable of handling, you know. So there's different ways, and there's more than just those two, but those were the first two that popped into my head.
And have you put any of this in writing or anything that where people could study or look at your website, or how could they learn more about you and what you're doing? Would you like to give that information so that people can connect with you in that way?
Yeah, sure. You know, pretty much everything that I do is going to be at least mentioned on my website. So so that's probably the best place to start. The okay. website is life-enhancement-services.com. The name of my business is Life Enhancement Services, and there's just a dash between each word. And a lot of my work, I'd say the biggest collection, there's some articles on there that I've written and things like that, and I am working on a book. But the largest collection right now would be in my podcast. I have about 50 episodes so far that have been recorded, and they're available on iTunes, and the easiest way is just to search my name, Glenn Ambrose, on iTunes. But the podcast is called Life Lessons and Laughter with Glenn Ambrose, and that's exactly what it's about. We do a lot of laughing, but we're doing some learning and talking about life as we're laughing. You know, I mean, I believe that if we're here, our experience is supposed to be peaceful, but also happy, joyful, and exciting. And I mean, so, you know, there's, I try to enjoy my life, and I try to bring that laughter into the podcast as well.
Mm-hmm. Let me remind people again, if they'd like to call in and ask you a question, that's 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. So if you'd like to ask a question, that will give you an opportunity to do that. Is there anyone here on the team that has something that they would like to address to Glenn? And if you're muted, you'll have to open your line.
Everybody's perfect. Everybody's happy.
I guess so. Well,
excellent.
we don't need to fix anybody or to help lead them by the hand if they have everything going perfectly in their life. What about when you have choices to make, and you were bringing up the idea of, well, if I leave this job, you know, I don't like it, but How do you help individuals analyze where they are? You know, you're a practical person in that way. How would you lead them? Maybe give them some tips on making choices and how to analyze where they are and where they'd like to go.
Right, absolutely. A lot of times people will be unhappy with their situation, and you know, in this example, we'll call it their job, but a lot of times they don't break down what exactly is they don't like about it. You know, they'll say, oh, I hate my job. Well, do you hate what you do on a day-to-day basis? Do you hate your job duties? Do you not like your boss? Do you not like the people you work with? Do you not like the environment? You know, exactly what is it? And sometimes when people look at that, they got into a career field because they had an interest in it. And they actually would like their job if it was in a different situation, or, you know, they had a different boss or something like that. And, well, then it's like, okay, well, then you're in the right career. If the career brings you joy, then you don't have to actually jump and start a whole new career. You know, now it's just looking at possibly dealing with your boss differently. You know, if it's your boss that's bothering you, a lot of times we can set healthy boundaries with people and completely shift the way we're treated, and then we can be happy staying at the same job. Sometimes we set up these healthy boundaries and people plow right through them, and we have to go, you know, find someplace else to work doing the same job that we enjoy, just under better conditions with, you know, so there's different things. And then if you're in a career or a job that you just don't like what you're doing, then before you run and jump out of that, the first thing you need to do is find out what brings you joy.
I'm going to interrupt you here. We have Denise, a caller on line one. So let's take her question, and then we'll jump back in where you left off here. So, Denise?
Hi, Denise.
Well, it's on the board here. But Denise is on line one.
I'm right here. What's
that? Oh, okay.
Oh, this
speak
is.
Up.
Oh, you can hear me.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay. What's your question, Steve?
Okay. I have a question. I'm one of the people that I pretty much have let go of my fear. I finally quit the best paying job I've ever had because I was going to, figuring there's a lot of work out here right now, so I let go of the fear. Figuring, oh, I'll just get back into the old construction industry. And, well, then maybe I'll just work back out at the airport but doing something different. But now, all of a sudden, I don't know if I'm just not popular anymore or because I'm older. I'm like, I just turned, I think, 51. But all of a sudden, I'm having a hard time finding a job. There was a couple I were waiting on, but I didn't want those jobs after I found out what they entailed, so I've let go of the fear. Are there any tips now? Because kind of right now, I'm needing to get back to work.
right. And you're going to be fine, but that's one of the reasons why I usually recommend finding another one before quitting the one that you're at. You know?
Yeah, I thought I had one. I said once I got there, and it wasn't what I wanted. It would have been the same situation, only probably worse at the end of the day. So that was the job I had planned. I was like, uh-oh,
okay.
Now what?
And I've been, you know, honestly, I've been in that situation once myself, and it sounds like the exact same situation. And the trick of it is to make sure that fear doesn't grab a hold of you, because, you know, whatever energy you're putting out, that's what's going to be coming back to you. So if your energy is in a state of fear, which is based in lack in this situation, you know, because you have fear of not having enough money coming in and not being able to pay bills and things like that. So if your energy is one of fear or lack, then that's what you're putting out. That's what the universe is going to be sending back. So it's really about caring for your energy as much as possible, and just.
Well, I'll just stay in the love. I usually do, anyways. But yeah, it just kind of got me on guard because, like I said, I totally thought I was very marketable. But nowadays, I've been on several interviews, but I'm not the one that gets the job, and that's never happened to me before.
So, okay, like, so what is your intention going into the interview?
It depends on the job. If I go in somewhere and I don't like it there, then I might not do a good interview on purpose. But
right.
Jobs I really wanted. I even got to the fourth interview, and then at the end of the day, I just knew this lady wanted me to say something. Never could figure it out, but I'll stay in the love. I just didn't know if you had any other advice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the best things that I've found with people interviewing is that the fact is when you interview, generally there's multiple people that can actually perform the task of the job that you're applying for. You know, there's more than one. That's why they usually have more than one interview. You know, they kind of narrow it down. So there's multiple people that are technically qualified for the job that they're interviewing for. So what's going to separate you from the others? What makes somebody get the job where the others don't? And basically, the best thing that I found for going in and putting out the best energy is setting the intention before the interview, before you walk in. Just take a moment and set the intention that you're going to set the person interviewing you at ease. Make that be the goal. Because if you're relaxed and you're trying to set them at ease, you're going to have the right answers. If you have the knowledge in your head, you're going to tell them the right things that they want to hear. It's not about that. You know, and having an intention to set them at ease isn't going to prevent you from giving them a good answer. So you don't worry about giving them the good answers. If you're qualified, you're going to give them the right answers. But
that's
setting
true.
Them at
I think I was probably overconfident in the beginning, and now I'm like, maybe I should study up more or something. Or like I said, I'm usually always myself, and I do put people at ease, but maybe I put them too much at ease or something, because I know what I'm doing, but maybe I'm not expressing it enough. So I'll take a look at that. But thank you so much for your advice.
Yes, absolutely. My pleasure.
What field are you in, Denise?
Office management, administrative, accounting type of roles.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much I can run a whole office.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, so I'm kind of putting it out there, but I don't think office manager, those positions, I don't think I want them anymore. I think I like just being an administrator, because you make the same amount of money, but don't have as much of the headache. So I'm going back to administrative opposed from office manager. So you think that I'm stepping down, I would get the job a little bit easier.
Well,
and
that's,
like I said, I'm going to stay positive. So, thank you.
That's
so
an important point, too. You know, what you just said, like you just be pick apart, because I can tell that you're very enlightened already. You know of the stuff that I'm talking about. You absorb it very quickly. You know, I'm not losing you in any way. You know exactly what I'm saying. So what you can do is fine-tune the way you're looking at things, because, like you just described, a job that sounded like you'd enjoy it more, like the administrative, because there's not as much pressure, but the money's close to the same anyway.
Exactly.
And then right after you said that, you said it was taking a step down. Well, for you, it's not taking a step down. That sounds like it fits you better. So for you, personally, energetically, that's a step up. You know, that should be more valuable to you.
That's very good point.
Maybe so it's those little tweaks like that.
I had a bad week on the interview run. It's like, God, nobody called me back this time. At least I usually get second interviews. So I'm like, I didn't get it this week. So I'll be more positive next week, I'm sure.
Yeah, and was it a lot of the jobs, the office manager as opposed to the administrator that you were applying for?
I think I was maybe aiming a little high, trying to like be field officer for like a construction site, like commercial, and I haven't been in the construction industry for about 4 years, but I'm really trying to get back into it. That's what I've been trying is construction industry, because that's what I enjoy. Now I'm just starting to put it out there, pretty much almost any industry that, not any industry.
Well, the other thing that I was just getting to as you were talking was, make sure that you're viewing how things are unfolding in your job search. View it through the eyes of the universe, or your creator, or whatever higher power you believe in. So if you have this omnipresent, omnipowerful force up there that's based in love, that's looking down on its creation, you, and it only wants the best for you because it's a loving creator. So it's looking down and it's going, how can I get Denise where she's going to be most happy? Because that would be the goal of a loving creator. So, you know, look at when things aren't working out, say, well, would a loving creator have things that are best for me not work out, or would they have things that are worse for me not work out? Well, a loving creator would have the things that aren't right not work out, you know?
And I say, hey, God, you know, I know you're going to find the job that's right for me, and when it's right, that's when it's going to happen. So maybe I'm just having a bad week.
Yeah, that's it. You're right. I mean, you, as I mentioned earlier, you get all this stuff. You know all this stuff. A lot of what I'm saying, you already know. But the thing of it is when we're living our lives, there's this thing called emotions that get in the way. And when it's our stuff, you know, when it's our stuff, that emotion starts swirling and it clouds our vision and we forget things that we already know. So, I mean, myself, I work with a life coach myself, even being one, because when it comes, I can help everybody and their brother, but when it comes to my stuff, my emotions swirl around and I can forget things and I cannot see things that are clear. So it helps getting that outside perspective, whether it be a life coach or somebody else. It's just whoever you pick.
I haven't gotten in with the intention. I've just usually been praying beforehand and saying, God, if this is the job that you think is right for me, then this is going to go well. So that's kind of what I've been doing. So maybe I'll try to set the intention also, instead of just leaving it up completely up to him, because that's kind of what I've been doing. So perhaps I should do a little bit more than just throwing it up in the air.
Maybe
hold
the intention. And also, I think Mercury's retrograde right now, and sometimes things are a little more difficult at that time. So, and that will change here shortly. So that might be another thing that to be aware of, just to feel the energy.
I haven't really started looking really hard until the past couple of weeks, because I was kind of waiting on this one job opportunity I had, and I went in there and I interviewed, and I didn't really like the new manager that was going to be there, and it just seemed like there was too much room for error and blame, and it was hot, and I don't like to be hot. I mean, I live in Florida, but I don't like a hot office, and I was like, oh, I could not stand to be here. I just knew, and this was the job I was waiting for 2 months, so I've kind of didn't really start really hunting until, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So I guess maybe I'm being too hard on myself. I don't know. So took a couple of months off, but I totally thought I was going to get this job. But I really, like I said, there was a couple of jobs, and I thought I'd get the other one, like I said. So maybe I'm just being a little hard on myself.
Yeah, I think, you know, as long as you just keep recentering and just really implementing the things that you already know, and fine-tuning them, you know, you can be a little bit more specific too with the, you know, you can kind of help God out a little bit by doing
that's what
a little
I think.
Bit
I think
of,
I wasn't specific enough to, but I know what I'm doing, and it's written down. I'm like, you know, I didn't, you know, maybe I don't think that I need to explain it so detailed, but I think that might have been why I didn't get the one job, because I just knew this lady was wanting to hear something, and all of a sudden I'm like, I'm at the fourth interview, what more do they want? And I'm like, God, I just felt like asking her, what do you want to hear?
So I didn't
get the job.
You can do that.
I struggled on that, but I was like, I don't know what else she wants to know. I mean, I've been doing this for years. I know, you know, and I explained all the processes. I was like, what more does she want? So, and then she said, I didn't
know. That would have been a beautiful question. You know, you could have looked at her and been like, you know, I'm really get that. That would get her feeling that you're pretty insightful, too. You know, if you looked at her and you go, you know, I'm
over
really
the phone interview.
That you're...
It was over the phone with the corporate office up in Texas, so.
Well, that's fine. I mean, but if look at how intuitive you are that way. You can even do it over the phone. So,
I did. I really
You know, I'm getting the feeling that you're looking for something else. Like, you could ask her. But I think, you know, I think that you really are intuitive, and I think that you're going to navigate this stuff fine. It's just, I think you were a little bit high. Like, the things that you're saying are clicking with me as right, and that's kind of how I do my work. You know, what you're saying
Well, thanks
is
for that
little...
reinforcement there. Maybe I just needed some reinforcement this week. So.
Yeah, yeah, I and think that's something what that it is.
Maybe you're, it's more important to you who you're working with than what you're doing. Have you thought about that?
Oh, exactly. Extremely, because that's why I want to be happy in my environment. That's why there's been a couple places I've gone that I, like I said, I purposely didn't do good on the interview because I was like, oh, God, I don't want to be here every day. You know, because I know I have enough experience going in now that I can recognize the signs at an instance. So I am trying to find somewhere where I'm going to be happy. Like you said, finding. So I did step out of the fear. But I've been unemployed. This is like my third month. I'm like, you know, it's getting. You know, it can take a little bit of time off. But I wasn't planning on 3 months. So.
Well, and yeah. you thought you were waiting 2 months because you were specifically waiting on something. So don't be hard on yourself.
Know,
I mean, you haven't really been trying to get a job.
It's been like heaven.
Yeah, it's nice to get a break every once in a while. So yeah, you haven't been at it for too long.
That's true. Only this month is when I really started trying. After the 4th of this month is when it's like, uh-oh. So you're right. So I guess it's only the 21st. I'll give myself a break.
Well, and I think the 6th was when Mercury went retrograde too. So, you know.
Well, I hope it's almost done. I think that might be part of it because I'm not really into the astrology part as much as I'd like to be. I usually just kind of go by what I feel. But yeah, it's been a rough little patch this week, and I'm like, what the heck? So thanks for pointing that out. And I'll, you know, when it's over.
Well, let me look at a calendar here.
Okay. That's helpful.
I'm not an astrologer at all. And I only, I get one of Jim Maynard's celestial influences. And and like I say, I don't understand. I don't, there's other people.
Well, you don't have to tell me now. I can look it up later or something. I'll just look it up, but I want to take
it's the 26th.
The 26th.
That's
okay,
next
that's only
Tuesday.
About a week more. Okay, I'll be
Tuesday.
Patient.
Okay.
Well, thank you guys so much. I've missed you guys a lot. I've just been, like I said, been under a lot of pressure and a lot of stress. And tell Mother I said hi, and thank you for all of your advice to all of you. And I love you all.
Well, thank you, Denise, for calling in.
Right, thank you. Bye. Very many blessings.
Thank you.
Okay, so where would you like to go from here, Glenn?
Let's see
if we have any other callers. I can, it's 888-429-5471 if you want to call in and ask a question.
And, you know, I think from Denise's call, it's a lot of, like, she was very in touch with herself, and she knew a lot of the answers, and it's interesting because not at least 90% of the time when I'm working with somebody, once we start getting towards the solution, they usually speak up and go, you know, I was just thinking that, or, you know, I actually started doing that last week but then stopped, or, you know, that they're... We're walking towards the solution. We're always evolving. We're doing better than we think. So oftentimes we're walking towards the solution that we need. We just don't see it, you know. And we often get too tied up keeping score, is what I call it. You know, that like, okay, well, I'll walk by faith and not by sight, and we'll see how this goes. So they do that, and then they. And then later the afternoon, they're like, okay, did everything work out? No, not yet. Oh, okay. And then the next day, they're like, oh, is everything all better now? No, not yet. Oh, okay. So they keep second guessing it, you know, without giving it time to work. So, and that all that second guessing is putting out to the universe that we don't trust it. And, you know, it's sending mixed signals. So it's kind of... you know, just to walk our walk with some confidence and keep moving forward, and things work out one way or another.
And I had an example here this week. It's a matter of perspective of where the person was very confident. They've always done, you know, stood up and presented a project or whatever and had no fear about doing that in front of people. And then they were working with a consultant who said, oh, I would never go into a situation like that by myself. If they've got six people sitting there, you know, it's like they're ganging up on you and put so much fear into the person that they were totally immobilized. And it's like looking at, okay, I've done this. I've done it before. I'm strong in my knowledge and my presentation. And it was, I mean, it was really destructive of what the consultant had done. He was saying, you must take somebody with you. Well, it had never occurred to the person that they might need to take somebody with them because they've been doing it and they've been successful. But after that suggestion was made, and so sometimes we have to be careful if we're talking to our friends or we're talking to a consultant, if they're putting doubts in your mind, that's something that is, and just saying, you know, they thought they were helping by saying, well, you know, to be really strong, you just need to have somebody with you.
Right, and they're projecting their fears onto somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, and it's a good point because I talk to oftentimes, and when I'm discussing this with clients, I tell them, well, when it's with a client that I'm working with one-on-one for a period of time, that's one thing. But when I'm doing, you know, a call like this or a workshop or something where I'm in front of people that might not be working with me, I tell them, you know, it's fine to get advice from other people and to, you know, to share things with other people and use other people as sounding boards and get outside help. But be careful who you're doing it with. You know, like oftentimes, you know, kids will, you know, you could have a kid, and I mean by a kid, somebody in their 20s or 30s that are trying to make career moves, and they'll go to their parents for advice. And, you know, they'll be like, oh, well, you know, I really want to be a musician, but I, you know, that's not steady pay and stuff, and I don't know if I'm going to make it. Or I can go, you know, get this accounting job, and I know I'll hate it, but it's a steady paycheck. Well, I mean, you know, the parents are going to be like, take the accounting job, you know, because, I mean, they want their kids to be stable and safe and secure and not have to struggle and all this stuff. I mean, so, you know, they'll project their fear of lack of money onto their children and say, you've got to do that. You know, when it's possible that this person is going to be completely miserable for the next 50 years as an accountant. They're young. Take the stab at being a musician. You know, I mean, if that's what brings you joy, take a stab at it. You know, at least try. But it's so, you know, we have to be careful who we ask. And it's the same thing with friends. You know, sometimes we have different friends that are capable of doing different things for us. You know, sometimes you've got this one friend that when a relationship breaks up, they can take you out to the bars and have a great time and make you forget all about everything. But that might not be the one that you want to talk about your deepest, darkest secrets with. You know, certain friends are capable of certain things. And if you look at them and kind of be like, okay, how do they handle their life? How do they handle these types of situations? Do they gossip about others? Because if they're gossiping about others, they're probably going to gossip about me. You know, be careful who you share what with, and be careful who you go to advice about what with. But, you know, if you slow down and look at people and kind of see which ones fit the right places, then, you know, then you'll be fine. But yeah, sometimes people will just grab the, you know, the first person closest to them, and that is not the person you want to be asking.
Right, and you're doing some other presentations, other places. On your, is there a radio show that you're on, or is it a podcast, or what? What is it where you're presenting? If people wanted to listen to you some more,
the podcast is going to be the best place, and that comes out. A new one comes out every other Sunday, and they're 30 minutes long. You know, you can listen to them on your computer or cell phone, and there's lots of different topics to choose from in the archives too. So I've been doing that for about 2 years.
And so tell people again, let's remind them how to find that.
Sure. That you can either search for the podcast on iTunes, and the best way is just to search my name, Glenn Ambrose, Glenn with two N's, by the way. And also, you can just go to my website. There's a box there that you can click on and go to the podcast. And the website is Life Enhancement Services. So it's life-enhancement-services.com.
Okay. Do we have any other callers here that want to ask a question, or anybody else on the team? Okay, so where would you like to go next then? You have, I've asked you a lot of questions and maybe didn't allow you to do, go in the direction that you had planned to go. So I'll give you a little more free rein here and let you share with us what you think is most important.
Sure. It's the, I have no expectations, so however it goes, which is, you know, which is fine. As I mentioned, it's the love is the biggest thing. It's, you know, really connecting with the love, finding yourself in it. And, I actually just finished up, a workshop on the Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. And we just went over the last chapter a couple hours ago. And it's a great book. And he talks a lot about, as you're getting connected with that love, as you're getting connected with yourself, it's the things of the world kind of drift away a little bit. So it's not that things never happen in your life that you don't like. It's just that it seems like they're happening at a distance from you. So, if they're happening at a, like my example would be, you know, if you're driving down the road and there's a moose in the middle of the road 100 yards up, well, you're not panicking that much, you know, because you've got some time to react and holy cow, what should we do? But you're not panicking. Now, you know, if you're doing 50 and all of a sudden a moose jumps out in front of you 10 yards ahead, that's a whole different situation. So that's kind of how it is when we're caught up in life, it seems like our problems are right there at us. They're right in us. And oftentimes it's the only thing that we can see. So if we just kind of lean back a little bit away from the problem and get the big picture and not get caught up in being that close to it, you know, we can see the solution a little bit. And as we get better and better at connecting to our truth and walking through life in a more peaceful, loving state within ourselves, then those things that happen are just kind of naturally further down the road, and we can kind of see them. If we need to take a left before we get to the moose, we take a left before we get to the moose.
<You know>? Okay. Excuse me.
Sure.
So, excuse
yeah,
me.
A lot of it is just, you know, I try to give people as much practical advice with using truth to give them some clarity on, you know, real life situations. I mean, I do consider myself a realist. That's why I'm not running around telling everybody to quit their jobs if they don't like it, you know. But it's that sometimes we just got to rock the boat too, you know. Sometimes I was at a job one time that I celebrated a 2-year anniversary, and I was like, oh my God, I got to get out of here. And then I celebrated a 3-year anniversary, and I was like, if I celebrate a 4th, there's going to be a major problem. So I just, you know, I had to shake the boat, and I kind of did, ended up in a position that Denise was in, is, you know, I did have another job to go to, but as soon as I went to it, it was absolutely horrible, and I couldn't do it. So then, you know, then I really needed to lean on the faith, and, you know, work through that without getting sucked into the fear and the negativity. And when you're in those situations, a lot of people around you, you know, will feed it. Mm-hmm. Be like, oh my God, you're out of work. How long have you been out of work? Oh my God, what are you going to do? It's like, whoa. You know, I don't need that energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough enough to stay up sometimes when that's happening. But, you know, you know what they say, if a door closes, then a window opens. You know, we're really set up for success in this life. We've got a loving creator and all that's omnipresent, omnipowerful behind us. Really, we've got nothing to worry about. Getting a job, you know, the universe can handle that. It's pretty powerful.
Sometimes we have to get out of our way.
Oh, yes.
Out of our own way, so.
Get out of our way and just, you know, let the universe do its work. You know, not getting up, I believe Mike Dooley is the one that calls it the cursed hows, which I like. Don't get it caught up in the cursed hows. Let the universe handle how it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I've manifested the best things in my life. I've manifested that way. You know, when I opened my Life Enhancement Center, I wanted to work and live in the same building. And people, I was like, wouldn't that be nice if I could just work from home? Because I'm a single parent, so being able to be around the home with my son is very important to me. So I'm like, wouldn't it be nice if I could just work there? And people are like, oh, they don't, you know, they don't have those buildings in our town. I'm like, yeah, but wouldn't it be nice? I'd like that. I'd like to work from home. I would like to be able to do that. I would like, and I never spent any time combating the negativity coming at me, like trying to go, oh yeah, but no, they must have some of those buildings in this town. I didn't try to prove people wrong. I just held it in my heart that it would be nice for me to do that. And the universe came and presented it to me. I was like, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, and people used to do this with their crafts and their trades. They did live in the same building, and you know, one floor was living quarters, and the other was that has been old culture for a long time. And now we're moving; we got away from that. We have to go out into a big corporation to work, and I see that happening for people.
Right. Oh yeah, it's happening so much now, and it's wonderful because we're getting really good specific abilities. You know, we're letting people really, because I mean, somebody that goes and does that, opens up a business, it's their passion. That's why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody that opens up a small business, you know, that's their passion. They're the actual product or service that they're doing is their passion. So automatically, they're going to be better at it than somebody that's just doing it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
just because of their level of passion. That's some of the people that I work with in the area. Like, you know, in the area, I have a chiropractor and an acupuncturist and people who do readings and people who do sound meditations and all these different people that I'm affiliated with in the area. When I'm meeting them, that's one of the first things that jumps out at me is how passionate they are. You know, when somebody's talking about acupuncture and they're going, oh yeah, but then when I was in school and then we learned that, when they start getting all excited about it like that, I know that that's the person that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're passionate about what they do. And if they're passionate about what they do, all those little, you know, twists and turns, they're going to know all those because they're interested in finding it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody that's not passionate about it, it's just more mechanical.
Well, and it's not what is really feeding our soul, and we're not in maybe alignment with spirit and with what our divine part is. And that's what I hear you saying, is
absolutely.
When we get in alignment with that, then it happens.
Right, and there's a famous quote. I'm hoping it's going to come to me. It says something about when you're looking for what you should be doing with your life, you know, what you need to find is what makes you come alive. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't look for what the world needs. Look for what brings you alive, because what the world needs is people who have come to life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's a very good way to look at it. We cannot offer and give to the world if we are not doing it out of joy and what is satisfying to our own soul. And so when you find people that are really making a contribution, and like yourself, you're saying, you know, what I really wanted to do was work from home and be able to work in the same building so I could. And there was passion there, and so that's allowing you to serve much easier than someone who was going to a job, like you said, for a paycheck, and so.
Right, and it, you know, and obviously the passion aspect of it really, that the driving energy, you know, came from the spiritual teaching and the helping people through the life coaching that I do. You know, that's the fuel. It's like I've heard it put that, you know, if we're trying to bring something into our life, you know, we have to have the idea, which the idea is kind of like the rocket ship, which
mm-hmm.
is really cool having a rocket ship in your backyard. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, wow, look at this. I got a rocket ship in my backyard. That's really
mm-hmm.
cool, but it doesn't do anything without the fuel. You know, so the fuel is your passion. The fuel is your emotion. So as you fuel that idea with passion, that's what really takes off.
Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate you sharing your thoughts, your wisdom, and your time with us this evening. And we'll look forward to connecting with you again. And if people do wish to go to your website, life-enhancement-services.com, and
right.
This is Glenn. So anything else you want to say as we close out the night?
Just a big thank you to you guys, and best of luck as you continue to move forward and you know, spread the message. So thank you for what you do, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome, and we'll look forward to connecting with you again. And so I'll remind everybody that we will be back next Thursday night. And we have Friday and Saturday night, Tara and Rama have very extensive calls about education that they will be putting on for us. And if you wish to support and help them in their work, You may also connect with me, and I can at stargatemarita, M-A-R-I-E-T-T-A, at Gmail, and I will get the message to them. Or if you wish to call, I'm at 317-773-0061. So we look forward to seeing you all next Thursday night, and blessings on your day as, blessings on your way as we complete this day. So, music, maestro, please.